buddy Bill Buckmaster, along with Tom Fairbanks. Tom is engineering our show and producing On the Other Side of the Glass. Together we welcome you to the program, our anniversary week, as we launch into year 7 of the radio project on this Friday, January the 6th, 2017. Tom, this is the Feast of the Epiphany, also known as the Three Kings Day. It's a holiday in many countries around the world. This is actually the 12th day of Christmas. Traditional gift giving is all part of it. So this is a big day, Tom.
It is, in the Christian world especially.
Yep. And the 12th day, and this marks, of course, the end of the holidays. But guess what? Carnival is just around the corner. So this marks the countdown to Mardi Gras.
Yeah, the period sort of between Christmas and Lent, I guess.
Yeah, we could use a little looking forward to a carnival, couldn't we? All right, we are live weekdays here, AM 1030 KVOI on the Buckmaster Show. A big shout-out to our media partners. Like to remember the folks that remember us by placing our Buckmaster Show link prominently displayed on their particular websites. TucsonSentinel.com follows us, the Inside Tucson Business, Green Valley News, Saharita Sun, TucsonLifestyle.com, Southern Arizona News Examiner, and the Three Sonorans, all supporters of our program. Our Friday Focus interview today, State Senator Steve Farley. Mr. Farley, a Democrat representing District Number 9. Senator Farley was first elected to the House in 2007. He Democratic Senator since 2013. Senator Farley will be the assistant Senate Democratic leader of the 53rd Arizona Legislature, which will be gaveled into session on Monday. And joining me in our conversation with Senator Farley, Linda Valdez is here. Linda, how are you?
I'm very well, Bill. Thank you.
And a happy new year and a happy birthday. This is your birthday week.
Yes, it is.
Linda is a Tucson-based columnist and editorial writer for Arizona's largest newspaper, the Arizona Republic. If you would like to join in the conversation with Senator Farley, 790-2040 is our live line number. Senator Farley, how are you? I hope you had a lovely holiday season.
I'm doing well. My birthday was Christmas Eve, actually.
That's right.
Congratulations.
We're both the Capricorns in here.
Happy birthday to you. Before we preview the upcoming legislative session, there's been a lot of talk about you thinking about a run for governor of Arizona. What can you tell us about that? Is this serious?
I'm very seriously considering it. I've been serving for a decade in the legislature. I've seen what policies have been enacted and what policies haven't been enacted, and I'm convinced now that it's going to take completely different leadership to be able to move this state in a direction that allows us to thrive in this century instead of just do the old retread stuff from the 20th century that doesn't work anymore.
So Arizona becoming bluer certainly would help you.
When you look at an off-year election, the last time we had a Democratic governor is when we had a Republican president. In 2018, I think we're going to see a massive backlash to the types of policies that are already being hinted at by the incoming administration on a federal level. And given that here as a state, we have not positioned ourselves to be able to adapt to a wildly changing economy with the forces of automation and globalization completely destroying entire industries, we're going to put that much more of an emphasis on lifelong education. So we're going to have a strong foundation in K-12. We're going to have higher education finally reinvested in at a level that actually creates new industries. And we're going to need a community college system that works for everybody to retrain throughout their entire lives when their job gets disappeared from the latest robot discovery. All those things aren't happening right now. And it's going to be too late if we wait too long. So I'm seriously considering. I'm not going to make a final decision until after session because there's a lot to focus on this session.
Financially, how would you handle it?
Well, I would be running clean. I don't think anybody's going to outraise Governor Ducey. But the clean election offers you enough money to be able to get your message out there clearly. There will be also additional help coming from the state party. So I think that I would be able to run a really good campaign. And I have a lot of contacts all over the state right now and a lot of different worlds in Arizona. So I'm really excited about the possibility of doing this.
All right.
Like I said, no final decision until after the session's over, but I'm very interested at this point.
Linda, come on in. Linda Valdez.
Okay. Senator Farley, let's talk about the upcoming session. One of the big topics that everyone seems to be discussing is education. You've got pressure from business groups, from community groups, and the governor's talking about it, Diane Douglas is talking about it, and the need for more funding, and yet the governor has pledged to not raise taxes. He also says he's going to have exciting news at the State of the State. What do you anticipate he's going to say, and what do you think is going to happen regarding education funding?
Well, the governor's only talking about education because it's a desperate need here in Arizona. We're still almost last in the country, depending on who you look at, in state support for K-12 education. And Proposition 123 that he crowed a lot about, it was purely paying for 70% of basic inflation. That's not enough to get us over the hump to be able to be where we need to be. So we've got to do, as many people say, a step 4, 5, 6. Right. And that means finally funding the building renewal so our classrooms are safe to inhabit. Finally funding the district additional assistance funds, which pays for computers and textbooks in our classrooms. And finally paying teachers a decent wage, because we've seen in Arizona 44% of teachers leave after 2 years. And large part of that is because they're not being paid enough to be in these classrooms that are dangerous to inhabit and don't have enough computers and textbooks. So that involves money.
Right.
And sadly, the governor and the majority have decided since 1996 to eliminate $4 billion annually from our general fund in tax cuts. And those tax cuts, I think if anybody looks at the effects, we'll see that they've had no effect on our economy. We've seen stagnating wages. We've seen all sorts of bad things happening to our economy. And he keeps trying to go for the latest big gamble to get the big jobs, and no one's really focusing on the real engine of job creation, which is our universities and our small entrepreneurial businesses, very small businesses. So you put all that together, education is what's behind all of it. And the fact that we've taken all these revenues out of our state and thrown them to these large corporations instead of investing in our education system to really have a solid foundation for the workforce for those businesses that he says he wants, it just shows that we haven't been led in that direction properly, and I don't think he's going to be able to come up with something good unless his folks in his budget office have decided we have more money than we actually do.
Well, so where would you get the money from, and how much do you think is needed? I know there's talk about renewing the 301, the 6/10 of a cent sales tax. You could raise, I think, $1 billion a year if you add a penny to that. That's one thing under discussion. But how would you raise the money?
We absolutely need to renew the 6/10 of a cent sales tax. The Prop 301 renewal has to happen. Possibly raise it up to a penny. I think some people, even Republicans, have talked about raising it another penny to 1.6. I think that's a little bit of a bridge too far with a sales tax that's already too high and hurting people on so many different levels. We need to start going seriously at the sales tax exemptions, the loopholes that I've been talking about for years, in which there are more than $12 billion that we're losing annually from transactions that are exempt from sales tax because some lobbyist over the past 50 years got down to the legislature, got a special exemption and loophole in the tax code for them, and then disappeared. And no one ever looks at those ever again once they're in place. We sunset agencies for review every 10 years at minimum. We never have a sunset review for those sales tax loopholes. And let me tell you just one off the top. We're giving away $180 million a year just for the fees that would come from portfolio management for financial portfolios, which are primarily used by those who can afford to pay it. There's not a whole lot of people in Arizona who actually can afford to pay a financial manager in a portfolio. And I think there's so many things to look at. I've talked about the 4-inch pipe exemption for years. Mm-hmm. You could come up with enough money out of that $12 billion to find $2 billion in which you would increase revenues by $1 billion and lower the sales tax rate by a penny. You could lower taxes while increasing revenues for education.
Senator Yarborough, the Senate president, was with me on Tuesday. He's saying we could be in some big financial trouble here because of the minimum wage going up in Arizona. It's going to affect the state big time, he contends.
We're in bigger trouble because of his tax credits he's put in place over the last 10 years. In fact, he's got one tax credit. It's a corporate private school tax credit that goes up 20% every year. That's what its cap goes up. And this last year, it filled up in less than a day the reservations for that. So that's going to go up until we project out in about 15 years from now. That's going to represent $800 million a year loss from our economy. There's a lot of things you could point at. Minimum wage isn't one of them.
Because the state does
they have been
to
reimbursed
pay.
These agencies yeah, the that pay agencies. Their people minimum wage
right.
for years. Mm-hmm. And they've reimbursed them at 70% of what actual costs are. So the reason these agencies actually are on the line financially because they have to bump up their people and pay them a decent wage is because we haven't been paying them their costs all along. So it's incredibly disingenuous to come in here now and say, oh, well, now that they have to pay these people who do some of the toughest jobs in our state enough to barely get by, then all of a sudden it's horrible. We need to stop paying these people anything.
All right, let's work in Tom because he's been holding on the live line at 790-2040 for quite a while. Tom, quickly, and then we'll take our break. What is your question?
Senator, what can the state do about imposing a state gasoline tax on the motorists of who fill their tanks in Arizona?
Is there anything can be done about a state
well,
tax?
Well, we have an 18 cents a gallon state tax right now. It has not increased since 1990. That is a major crisis because if we just adjusted for inflation, it would be 44 cents a gallon right now. That's how much we've lost in effect in our purchasing power. And then people are using less gas. In fact, a lot of people are starting to buy their Teslas and other electric vehicles, and they're not actually paying any tax at all for the roads they use. So there needs to be a discussion of how we increase it. I was hoping, and I actually worked with some people who were bringing this to the governor, but he rejected the idea, that we would do like what this state of Utah did, in which they changed their flat amount per gallon into a percentage that was revenue neutral when the gas is low. Now, I just noticed the gas went up 10 cents a gallon at my gas station just overnight, so I'm wondering if our opportunity has closed. But if we could do that, then as the price of gas goes up, if we get a percentage of it, we increase and start to get more to be able to fix our roads. Because at this point, we don't have enough to invest in our transportation infrastructure, and that hurts our economy in a lot of different ways, from the people who you would be hiring to build those roads and maintain those roads, to all of us who have to pay for an alignment too often because we hit too many potholes, to the businesses that need their goods to market and people to work. We need to invest in a good transportation system here in Arizona. And we've been falling behind the rest of the states, where even in Wyoming, they've put on a 10 cent a gallon increase in the gas tax. Like I said, my gas costs 10 cents more a gallon just overnight. I think most people wouldn't notice the amount, only be going to us instead of the oil companies.
All right. We're going to take the break. But before we take the break, since we are talking about automobiles, what about the texting situation? You were the first state lawmaker, pretty much, I believe, in the United States to be calling on state legislatures to ban texting while driving. Senator Farley, how many states now have followed your suggestion, and what states have not?
48 have followed my suggestion. It's now just us in Montana that do not have a statewide ban on texting. I hear that Montana is looking at doing that this year. And we actually have an opportunity this year because the one person that has gotten in the way every single year, former Senator Andy Biggs, is now a congressman.
Mm.
So he is not blocking things in the House or the Senate. I've had a number of Republicans talk to me that they want to be on this now. I have five different bills to approach it different ways, and I'm even putting a ban on handheld devices in there as well, because the town of Oro Valley just Yes. recently put a ban in place. And I think that's the best way to go, because it means that if you're touching your phone, you're guilty. So it's easier to enforce. It'll keep people off of those phones. Because I've had too many people in my office, too many families come into my office over the last 10 years and tell me the story of their lost loved one and how that happened to a distracted driver. We need to get that law in the books. We need to make our roads safer, and we need to stop the carnage on our highways.
All right, we're going to take a break right here. On Friday, our bumper music, the intermission music, we usually go back into the vaults. Today, it's the late, great Richie Havens.
Freedom, freedom. Freedom, 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 freedom. Sometimes I feel like a motherless child.
The excitement is building for the grand opening in early 2017 for the Twisted Tandoor. The legendary Indian food truck will now have a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu will be an expansion of the Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, coming in early 2017 at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With six airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority and its members are working together to deliver transportation improvements to our region. More than 770 improvements have been completed to date. The success of the RTA is built upon collaboration and leadership that focuses on addressing our regional mobility needs to make our region a safer, more efficient, and more vibrant place to live. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Experience the best of the Canadian Rocky Mountains with the rail journey on Rocky Mountaineer. You'll travel alongside the powerful Kicking Horse River and pass by monumental landmarks from the early days of the National Railway. On this legendary route, you'll see postcard images around each bend, including stays in picturesque Lake Louise, with scenic tours of Jasper National Park, and much more. Contact Bon Voyage Travel to plan your Rocky Mountaineer rail journey today. Bon Voyage Travel, your travel experts.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Richie Havens, our intermission music, bumper music from Richie Havens. Of course, Here Comes the Sun. Next 10 minutes or so, still 10 minutes, lots to talk about with State Senator Steve Farley, the Senate Democratic assistant Democratic leader for the 53rd Arizona legislative session, which begins on Monday. And Senator Farley sharing with us in the first segment of the show that he is very seriously taking a look at a run and a challenge to Governor Ducey in 2018. Linda Valdez is here from the Arizona Republic. Linda, you're up to the plate.
I'm up to the plate. Well, let's talk about the legislature some more because that's such a fun topic.
Always.
And, you know, for years there's been discussion, will the Democrats ever have a role in writing the budget? You have new leadership now. Is it going to happen this year? Will the Democrats have a role in writing the budget?
I would like to think we would, but sadly, the way the majority has ruled stuff, it's that they get in a smoke-filled room on their own, and then they don't even reveal it to their own members until right before they're about to vote on it, which usually happens in the middle of the night in a three-day process. So I don't see a big change of that happening. In fact, it might be a little more insidery because the Senate president and the House speaker are from the same district this time, and I think they may be just sort of working along with the governor's people and then spring something out. The interesting dynamic that I think could happen is if the governor still has any hope of eliminating the state income tax, he's going to have a considerable tension with Senator Yarbrough, who is very invested in the private school tax credits. And if you don't have a state income tax, you don't have any tax credits anymore either. So if that tries to get pushed by the governor's office, I think there's been big pushback from Senator Yarbrough, and that could be some of the tension. But, you know, we'll always be working on that. Behind the scenes, we have people who will be in the rooms. A lot of us work across the aisle really well. I've got some Republicans I work with very closely who then go in there and put some of my priorities on the table during the Republican budget talks. And that's kind of the way we've done things in the past, and I think that's not going to change very much.
Some of your thoughts as we approach now the sixth anniversary of the Tucson shooting tragedy. We ran about a 5 or 6 minute clip from the interview I did with Gabrielle Giffords the first week of my show. And it was really, we believe, the last media interview that Gabrielle Giffords did before the assassination attempt. And Ron Barber was with me as we were listening to that clip. And it was amazing the issues are pretty much the same about affordable health care, the border, and on, as they were 6 years ago.
Well, particularly the affordable health care issue is going to be huge over the next couple of years because now that we have a Republican majority and a Republican president who have sworn their first job is to repeal Obamacare, that means that there's, I think the last count I read was 21 million people across America who would lose health care in that case. I've always been a huge supporter of Healthcare Group, which was our health insurance program for small businesses and sole proprietors here in Arizona that worked really well in the 90s and 2000s until it got attacked and a whole bunch of stuff got thrown in its way by certain insurance agents in the legislature. That's something that served small businesses and sole proprietors really, really well. And those are people who have gone over to the exchanges, and now the exchanges aren't functioning because they're trying to get rid of them. Those people are going to be left out in cold, not to mention the 400,000 people in the Medicaid expansion population. And and it's going to be a huge nightmare for these folks in the majority in the governor's office if they decide we're not helping subsidize Medicaid anymore, because that leaves a $500 million hole in our budget.
And that decision's coming. That's a huge decision coming up.
Huge decision coming up. And do they really want to be able to say that what we stand for is putting hospitals out of business? I don't think that's a good thing to run for re-election on.
Here's Linda Valdez. Linda?
Senator, I know you're very involved with the refugee crisis and refugees in resettlement in Tucson. Talk to us a little bit about what's happening.
Well, it's been very exciting what's gone on. And interestingly, even since the election, people have really been focused here in southern Arizona on what they can do to build community. It's one of the ways that people who may not have been very excited about Donald Trump being the president are dealing with the outcome is by really becoming closer to other people who are around them. I created a group called Arizona Welcomes Refugees in November 2014 when Governor Ducey joined other governors in saying, we don't want any refugees here. I thought that was absolutely the wrong move to make from the perspective of an American and the perspective of somebody who wanted to have better security. If you alienate a group of people who are being preyed upon by ISIS, I mean, that's one angle, that makes you less secure. The other angle is these are the newest Americans. These are people running from terror. These are people we've opened our doors to. And these are the people who are going to be the most entrepreneurial drivers of our economy. And they're some of the best people I've met in our society.
You were with some of them last night.
I was. We had 150 people at a potluck at Grace St. Paul's Episcopal Church. That's my church. And it was amazing. We had dancing, singing, the food. We have all these donations, piles of them people have brought to the church. And that we've given them out to the families who need them desperately. Because within 6 months of arriving, they need to actually pay back all their travel expenses. And they have very limited English in many ways. So this group has grown from 400 people before the election on the Facebook page to now over 1,400. And people are just offering what they have on that group. And then people are saying, yeah, I'll take that and I need that. People are getting jobs for these families, English lessons, just dancing for exercise. There's all sorts of things growing up. We've had these sweet sales where these women have been cooking these amazing Syrian sweets. And a lot of these people are from Aleppo, so they've gone through utter hell to be able to get here. And they've been selling them, and people have been coming up in droves. We had 700 people at the last Syrian sweet sale we had, in which people were buying all these delicious treats and helping these people get the spending money they need to survive here. It's the ultimate free market, and it's incredibly sweet, too.
You know, getting back to what Linda said about perhaps a surprise in Monday's State of the State Address, what do you think that surprise is? You kind of touched on it a little bit with the education, but what do you think the surprise is that he's going to bring up?
I'm guessing he has said that he wants to raise teacher salary. He wants to do something to help teachers. I don't know what that is, but in order to be significant, it would be vast amounts of money. And we don't have vast amounts of money thanks to all the tax cuts they put into place that haven't done anything. So this is the guy who just bragged about being the champion of restoring JTED and adding $28 million to JTED this year in his year-end report, when in fact he had cut $30 million from JTED and put it into a death spiral the year before, and then he fought tooth and nail any of that restoration in the earlier part of this year. So what he says and what he does has been two different things. Whatever he says at the State of the State, I'd like to see what happens in reality down the line. What is he really going to support? And is he really willing to invest the money we need at every level in our education system?
Who have you invited? Each lawmaker invites usually, traditionally two guests. Who will your guests be at Monday's
event? I've got Lee Lambert, Chancellor of Pima Community College, because he's done an amazing job turning around Pima from a difficult situation, and our community colleges are going to be key for that lifelong learning we're going to need to have this century. And Chief Magnus, from the Chief of Police in the city of Tucson, he's done an incredible job at community safety. And he's already declared, as I think all of us should be declaring, that if anybody comes up with any sort of registry for anybody in this country, he's not going to cooperate with it. Because the last thing we need is to be separating ourselves from each other right now. We need to unite as Americans, and I do believe that is possible.
Chief Magnus he's scheduled to be our guest right here next Friday on the program. Linda, a quick final comment. I've got about a minute or so left. Quick question for Senator Farley.
Sure. It strikes me there's such a disconnect when you talk about the refugees and the support there is in the community for them. There's a disconnect between what people seem to want and what their politicians are pushing. And how do the people get their message across to the politicians then that this is not what they want?
Well, I think we keep doing things like this. The way to rebuild society in this country and rebuild and across those polarized bounds to really reunite ourselves again is to get to know people who are different from us. That's part of why I've been such a big public transit supporter. Not just because I think it does great things for our economy, but because it brings people together who normally wouldn't run into each other. We absolutely need to understand our neighbors, even if we think they're different from us, instead of to demonize them. I don't want to demonize Trump supporters any more than I want them to demonize me. That's how our democracy can survive. And I think a lot of us understand now that the future of our democracy is at risk. If we start to look at our fellow Americans as enemies, instead of fellow Americans, we're all in trouble because we have a lot of challenges that are bigger than anything we could ever imagine facing us in the future. And if we can't come together to unite on these things and really, we'll have different opinions, there's no doubt, but let's talk about them in the same language, in the same room. Let's not throw stones at each other. Let's not call each other losers. we're all together in this country, and we're going to stay together in this country, and that's what our biggest challenge will be from here on in.
All right. On that note, we will leave it there. Senator Farley, thank you very much. Good luck with the upcoming legislative session.
Thank you. I'll need it.
Thanks a lot. It is the Buckmaster Show, our Friday Focus interview. If you are listening to the re-air of the program, our Saturday, because we are re-airing this program from 4 to 5 Saturday afternoon on KVOI. We'll be right back with our Friday roundtable, Linda Valdez and Sarah Garrett Gasson next.
There must be some way out of here, said the Joker to the thief. There's so much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine, proud men dig my earth. None of them along the line know what any of it is worth. No, 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 no.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the news from a different perspective. Local opinion from Emil Franzi, Bill Richardson, and Bruce Ash. Our national columnists are the best. Michael Barone, Thomas Sowell, Ilan Berman, Avik Roy, Bill Tatro, and A View from the Left with Sam Smith of Progressive Review. Plus, Michael Ramirez political cartoons. It is thoughtful opinion and commentary only found in the Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in T-U-S. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. On a changing planet, the University of Arizona's Biosphere 2 has been diving deeper and looking closer while energizing, innovating, conserving, and advancing science on an unparalleled scale to better understand the natural systems around us and to inspire our future generations. For 10 years now, UA Biosphere 2 has explored our planet's future. Come, explore it yourself. Open daily, biosphere2.org. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Monday at noon, the Monday Political Face-Off features commentators Jeff Rogers and John Munger. Then our foreign affairs contributor, the former United States Army Chief of Staff, General John Wickham. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on Tucson's Voice AM 1030 with worldwide live streaming, podcasts, and show archive at buckmastershow.com.
Come gather round, people, wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you.
Back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Richie Havens with our bump music. The times, they are changing. I believe on last week's show, Tom, we we exclusively did that particular song, The Times They Are Changing, with a bunch of different artists.
And yeah, I don't remember if we had Richie as one of them.
We did not. No, Richie was not one of them. Sarah, you were
here making up
last
for it.
Week. Sarah Garrett-Gasson, the star. And I had completely forgot about Richie Havens covering the Dylan song, The Times They Are Changing.
Right, but now we have him for a whole show.
We've got him for the whole show, and it's good to hear that music again. Brings back lots of memories. It is our Friday Roundtable. Sarah Garrett-Gasson of the Arizona Daily Star, columnist and editorial writer, joining us, and Linda Valdez, who has pretty much the same title as Sarah, but at a different publication, the Arizona Republic. Linda, thank you for your participation.
My pleasure.
In our interview with Steve Farley, which was very interesting, Sarah, in that Senator Farley saying he is seriously considering a run and perhaps an announcement for challenging Governor Ducey after the legislative session. He would apparently make an official announcement.
Yeah, I think that's very interesting and will add another dimension to the back and forth that will happen between Senator Farley as one of the leaders in the legislature on the Democratic side, and of course the governor's office. Steve has a lot of name recognition across the state. He's been very active on transportation issues, on the nonpartisan things like, you know, the dust storms on mm-hmm. highways, things mm-hmm. like that, things that actually make a difference for everyone. And I think it could be a really interesting race, a really interesting dynamic if he does decide to go for it.
And Linda, it has been a long time. The last time Arizona voters elected someone from Southern Arizona for governor was 1974. And who was that? Do you know?
1974.
Democrat Raul Castro.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
That was quite historic,
yep.
too.
So it has been a long time since a Southern Arizonan has become governor.
Well, it has indeed, as you point out, and I think that's going to be one of the things that's difficult for Steve Farley when he runs. He has name recognition, yes, but he's not from Maricopa County, and as far as Arizona is concerned, Maricopa County is Rome, and the rest of us are the provinces. And it's going to be tough.
That's a good way to put it.
It's going to be tough for Maricopa Countyans to vote for someone from Pima, because there is that stigma there mm-hmm. as well, especially a Democrat from Pima County. But he's very articulate. He's got some very good ideas. I think some of his language about the budget and loopholes, those are things Democrats have been saying for years, and he needs to reframe that a little bit to present it to people. But it'll be interesting if he gets in. I can't think offhand of too many other Democrats that would be contenders. They don't have a very deep bench.
No, they don't. And I can't think of any other Democrats statewide who are considering a run for governor. So perhaps if he gets in there early, that could help too. January 8th, of course, the tragedy, the Tucson shooting tragedy coming up, the anniversary will be this Sunday, Sarah. And I do want to mention to folks, and we talked about it a little bit yesterday with Ron Barber. And by the way, everyone is supposed to wear white of some kind to this event, like a white shirt, or be warm enough perhaps for a white t-shirt. For the January 8th memorial will be this will be known as the memorial will be the embrace that's being talked about for downtown, but coming up on Sunday at High Corbett, this is going to be hundreds of people showing up to do, well, I guess it's kind of a giant embrace symbol on the baseball field.
Yeah, people seem to memorialize events with large gatherings where someone takes a photo of them from way high up and they're a symbol, you know, like the American flag or this event. I think it's something that people can feel a part of. It's a coming together. It's something that will be important to those certainly who go and are part of it, but also I think will be a symbol of of how the Tucson community has responded and reacted even these 6 years later.
And very good news for a possible national recognition for the memorial that's being planned downtown.
Yes.
I believe the formal announcement came at a news conference today from Congresswoman McSally, and I think some members of the Arizona delegation are on board with trying to get National Park Service recognition for what will go on at the downtown Tucson Memorial.
That's right, Bill, and that is very important. I think that if they would enact some legislation to control guns and deal with the whole situation that came up, that has been exemplified by these kind of massacres, would be perhaps a better way to react, or a more meaningful way. Symbolism is great, but it's been so many years, and we've had so many gun massacres since then, and yet we have not had any kind of meaningful change in our gun laws.
On Sunday, in the Arizona Daily Star, we're going to have a piece from Representative Martha McSally and someone from the Foundation for the Memorial talking about what that effort is on the editorial page. And then we're also going to have a really excellent piece by Patricia Maish talking about her activism and how that's sort of a living memorial to what happened in the lives that were lost. So I encourage people to take a look at both of those. They're two interesting perspectives.
And when Ron Barber was sharing with us yesterday about, still 6 years later, Sarah and Linda, how fresh those horrible memories are for him, and he came within just a hair of being killed. He was shot in the mouth as well as being shot in the leg. And you could feel the emotion in his voice still to this day, talking 6 years later about that. It's still raw for a lot of people. Still raw.
Excuse me. Indeed it is. I mean, I went to the hospital right when Gabby was being taken there, and we were all waiting outside.
Right.
Jeff Flake drove down from Phoenix, and I talked to him. And there was such a coming together of people in reaction mm-hmm. to that. Such a unified feeling, and it would be great if that had lasted in some meaningful way. I was down at that memorial, the huge memorial that evolved outside of the hospital mm-hmm. one afternoon, and Jan Brewer was on one side and Raul Grijalva was on the other side. And again, it was an example of how the tragedy brought people together. And another tragedy is that people did not stay together to make any meaningful changes to prevent future tragedies such as that.
Let's talk a little bit more about the upcoming legislative session. Certainly education, Sarah, is going to be, many people are hoping it will stay as a front burner issue, but whether or not it will, we'll have to see.
Well, I think part of that is up to us as the public, as the voting public, and business groups and chambers of commerce coming together, and education groups and parents and students and just people without kids in the system, people who are just taxpayers or residents. I think it's going to be up to us to say, we're not going to let this drop. We're not going to let this fall by the wayside yet again, and to make it so real progress is made. So as we've been talking, it seems, for so long, that education at the university level in K-12 has been cut so dramatically.
At the community college level as well.
I should not forget mm-hmm. that it's entirely possible for the Republicans to say, oh, well, we gave more money, we allocated more money, but it's in such a deep hole, it's not even back up to where it was, you know, just a few years ago. So I think we need to really pay attention and be aware of that, and not allow people to say, oh, but we're increasing, because we're just trying to make up ground.
There's such a conflict there, because there are a lot of people, including the business community, is very active in wanting to help education and put money into education. But we have a governor who ran for election saying he would cut taxes. and he is opposed to raising taxes. You look at that, and as Senator Farley was pointing out, there's also the continual tax cutting. You know, you come to a point where you have needs and you have no money to meet those needs. So as Sarah said, people need to put pressure on. They do. But you need to have a governor who's going to completely change his mind about taxes. And I don't see that happening.
And one thing I think that Linda brought up earlier, which is so absolutely crucial, is that the Democrats have for so long been saying the same things, talking about loopholes, talking about Relaston education funding. We're talking about how we need to invest in education. I mean, we can,
same narrative.
Yeah, we can have this conversation without anything ever happening.
So for some people, it goes in one ear and out the other
It's just wallpaper at this point. And so I think one of the things the Republicans have been good at nationally has been redefining the conversation. You know, we talk instead of the estate tax, we talk about the death tax. We talk about death panels, things like this. And I'm not saying that the Democrats need some misleading names for things or to...
A retooling is what I think I'm hearing you saying.
Yeah, I think
retool, retool the message.
Well, I think we need to to think about these things in a way as how does it actually affect you? Because if you don't have kids in school, education still affects you.
Really
does.
It does. All right. Linda and Sarah got to run, but very much appreciate your participation in this program as we begin our seventh year here in Tucson on the radio. Thank you very much.
It's always fun, Bill. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank
ladies.
You.
Ladies, have a great weekend. More of Richie Havens. I think this is Fire and Rain.
Just yesterday morning, they let me know you were gone. The zoos and the plans they made put an end to you. Walked out this morning and I wrote down this song. Now I just can't remember who to send it to. Oh, I've seen fire and I've seen rain.
At the Humane Society of Southern Arizona, we've been caring for homeless pets for over 72 years. But as we've grown, our campus hasn't, and our pets and staff are crowded in run-down, dilapidated buildings. The need for a new campus is critical. The homeless pets in our care need healthier, stress-free space, and we need room to expand the important work of adoption and education. Please help us build our own forever home. Visit hssaz.org and donate today, because we're all in this together.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. The Regional Transportation Authority works with its member jurisdictions, the business community, project neighbors, and the broader community to deliver transportation projects promised in 2006. This collaborative effort is a model of diverse interests coming together for the benefit of the region. This spirit of regional collaboration helps us address the mobility and safety needs in all of our communities. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. On a changing planet, the University of Arizona's Biosphere 2 has been diving deeper and looking closer while energizing, innovating, conserving, and advancing science on an unparalleled scale to better understand the natural systems around us and to inspire our future generations. For 10 years now, UA Biosphere 2 has explored our planet's future. Come, explore it yourself. Open daily, biosphere2.org. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Weekend Watch with Inside Tucson Business food and beverage columnist presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. It's just 3 hours to a completely different experience and a great experience in areas like the Gila National Wilderness with the scenic drives, great birding and hiking trails, the full listing of the many places to stay, some 24 great places, and the many things to do, at least 24 or so recreation activities, Southwest New Mexico, spelled out .org. Let's welcome now Matt Russell, the host of Weekend Watch, and he always has a great happy hour pick of the week. How about the first pick of the new year for us?
Absolutely. Happy New Year, Bill. Hey. And as you say, it's a beautiful weekend ahead, which makes an alfresco happy hour. My pick today at the Coronet in the old Coronado Hotel down on 4th Avenue and 9th Street. Now, part of the buzz has to be due to their $5 cocktails, including the Vesper, the Old Fashioned, even real daiquiris, not those blended things. Now, happy hour snacks are just as interesting, like lamb meatballs, lemon sardines, and even a BLT slider made with duck bacon. I say let the quacking commence at happy hour today at the Coronet.
Only Mr. Russell works bacon into every Weekend Watch. What's going on at Sentinel?
Yeah, you know, it's going to be quite the party tomorrow when the guys over at Sentinel Peak Brewing Company, they're going to be hosting their third anniversary event from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m., an entire day built around our common love of craft beer. Now, though, they've also invited the Rusty Truck Barbecue Company to serve up some smoked goodies like ribs and chicken wings, and they're going to do them all on site. They're going to be smoking them in an old rusty truck. You got to see this thing. Specials all day long. An anniversary ale is going to be revealed. I say follow the scent of smoke and suds tomorrow to Sentinel Beach.
What's new at the Carriage House downtown?
Love this place. It's really like a community center for the culinary arts. And Chef Ashley Chen is going to be hosting a cooking demo tomorrow at 11 a.m., focusing on how to make healthy foods actually taste good, too. She'll show you how to make things like chicken cacciatore and an arugula salad with fresh apples and goat cheese, and, of course, dessert chocolate meringue with fresh fruit. Good for you and delicious, too. That's a New Year's resolution I can keep, Bill.
What's in the column this week?
Well, I wrote about my top 10 stories from the past year as ranked by readers online engagement. It's always kind of fun to go back and see which stories were most fascinating to my readers of Inside Tucson Business. And the whole top 10 list is revealed in this week's edition, Bill.
Good new year to you, my friend. Thank you.
Right back to you.
This week on Liberty Watch Sunday, the presidential inauguration, of course, coming up January 20th. Large protest groups
have been granted access to the mall. Retired Secret Service officer Gary Byrne joins Charles Heller Sunday morning at 11 about the tightest security in history around a president, and also his private security versus the Secret Service. Should be very interesting. Swap Shop, Liberty Watch, and America Armed and Free, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Sunday. The Buckmaster Show, a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for its content. Want to thank some people. Our original theme music from Christophon. You can find a link on our website, buckmastershow.com. Always Tom Fairbanks doing a great job as my producer-engineer on Friday. Ray Allen, engineer-producer Monday through Thursday, and the operations manager here at KVOI. Our thanks to Doug and Mary Martin, all of our fine staff in the front office, Alicia, Elsa, Rhonda, Christina, our chief engineer, Rosemary Brandt, my assistant, making sure our podcasts are up and running in a very timely manner. In other words, on behalf of all of us, have a great weekend.